Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning. You can also take us with you on the Odyssey app. It is September 22nd. He's just gone. Good morning, Georgia!
Morning!
And a good morning. And we really do hope you folks are doing real good out there in Noonan.
In Noonan. Absolutely.
Noonan, man, yeah. We just
down in, both won. I think Noonan won their game this weekend. The East Coweta won their game. They had a really tough one. They were playing down at Perry, and they went down there and brought back a win. We had Coach John Small on with us, talking to him, riding on the bus. Chris and I always got catch the teams coming back and on the bus and whatnot, you know. And it was kind of quiet on the bus, and I'm like, you think after you win, guys would be like, but.
Does he ever play Kiss music on the bus when y'all coming back?
Who's that?
Your partner?
Oh, Dave?
Yeah.
Oh, he does. He has a headset on. Yeah.
He doesn't try to introduce the young folks to his music?
Oh, no. You don't do that. You don't try that, man. No.
And he would try to explain Elvis all them guys were, and Kiss, and Gene Simmons. And
he ain't trying to do that.
Gene Simmons' special attribute and all of that. Anyway, coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to Megan L. Hall here, getting ready for a bit of a minute since we talked to Megan, a few weeks.
I know.
So we're going to bring her on here.
Looking forward to it.
WNBA playoffs right around the corner. You and Eric are going to do some HBCU stuff that you won't have a chance to get to here in the top of the hour. You will get to at the bottom of the hour. Noel is going to be working later on again with some of the other shows because it is all hands on deck today. We're getting ready for Falcons, Kansas City Chiefs tonight. Prime time on the biggest TV show in America.
Yeah,
people don't
prime time.
You don't know
prime
that. Time. It's not just the primetime game. Sunday Night Football is and has been ratings-wise the biggest TV show in America for a while. So you get on that show, you know, which means you're gonna see all kinds. They're here right now, or have been here for a few days, taking pictures around Atlanta. You know,
and you're going to see all that.
You're going to see Shaq's Krispy Kreme. You're going to see Mary Mac's Tea Room. You're going to see,
you know what I'm curious
King
to
and
see?
Queen building.
You know what I'm curious to see?
Magic City.
No. Because usually on Sunday night, they come back from one break and they show clips from a high school game.
That's true.
In that area.
They will. And then the wall, inside Mercedes-Benz.
No, but I'm trying to see which game that they go to Friday night. So I'm curious to see who they show. I got a feeling it might have been a certain school up Highway 400 that got a visit from Kirby Smart. So Well, we got to see which one they're going to show. There are a lot of them they could choose from because we got so many teams that are, you know, nationally ranked, and we got to get Jeff Fisher on here with his top 300 because usually we get on him because we don't have enough Georgia teams. There are a number of Georgia teams that are in that top, like, 25 now. Usually he has one or two because he got all the California teams and tech, you know. But, no, man, we got some teams that are there, you know. So
I want to ask you, and this is actually a serious question, and so take a second here to get off the silliness that we're doing here, because I would imagine there was a conversation between NBC and somebody leading up to this game knowing they were going to take shots around the state. When does Winder go back and play?
Well, the coach was on. Not Winder, Appalachian.
Appalachian. When do they go back to play?
They're not sure. They're practiced this week.
That's what I'm saying. I would imagine they would have probably.
They may have done that, especially since the team went out and visited the Falcons, you know, last week. But we talked with Coach Mike Hancock. He came on the scoreboard show with us Friday night and really was thankful. He was thankful for all the support and the prayers and the things, the gestures that people have made toward them. This week they are due to go into half days to just reintroduce the students to the school. They had a day early in the week for them to come in and reclaim their belongings. A lot of them left their cell phones, left car keys, left everything, and they hadn't been allowed to go back into the school. They went back to the school just to get their belongings early this week. This coming week they're going to spend hours in the school. Obviously going to be counselors. There's going to be people around. And I still think, you know what, Greg, there are some kids who are not going to go back to that school.
I believe it.
You know, they're probably going to go to the other school in the county, which is Winder Barrel, which they have resumed everything. They played football Friday night. They've resumed everything at their school. But at Appalachia, you know, you can't tell someone who saw certain things.
Yeah, you can't unring that bell.
People, you know what I mean? You just can't do that. And so, you're curious to see how that works out. You want the best. You want the best, you know, for them. You want the best for everyone, for the community, especially for the young people and for the education professionals whose job it's going to be, because somebody's going to have to hold their hands,
That's
too.
That's right, yeah. We talk about first responders for things like that. Now, this is a whole different episode of Oprah when you talk about what's needed here. Yeah. The thought just left my head here. Did you say that the team went out to meet the Falcons?
Yep. And it wasn't a media event. They didn't let the media know they were coming. Falcons just invited them out to come out there and come to practice and spend time with them.
Okay.
Which is, once again, we talked about Arthur Blank and things.
I was going to ask you, by extension, did they offer them tickets to, like, the game?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about that. They may be there tonight. We don't know.
And if they are?
They haven't played a home game since then.
And if they are, and I know this sounds patronizing, but, you know, if she shows up, that would be in her best interest to go say hello to them kids. Again, it would be one of those events.
I don't know if she dives that deep, but I'm just saying if they come to the game tonight, it would be nice. But I mean, the idea is they're trying to do things, and they don't know when they're going to play.
Right.
They just, you know, it's almost like they're doing it's almost like it's early August, and they're getting reacclimated.
Mm-hmm.
Is basically what they're able to do, because school's not in, they've been able to do it early in the morning rather than at night. And so that's what they've been able to do to get the team back together, back on the field.
All right, man, appreciate the update. That's Mr. Crenshaw. I'm Greg, the Sam Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, getting you ready for a big day. I mean, we got the starting lineup going at it, other than the morning shift, which, by the way, they will be a part of the game broadcast anyway. So Steak and get this right here, because these guys are going to be all over the city. Not only are they going to be at the Cigna by Hilton, Steak and Drew Butler, along with Dukes and Bell, but John Fricke and Joe Patrick will be down there at the Smooth Lot from 4 until 6. So we got you covered today. All right, I'm going to back up 10 yards and punt, Mr. Crenshaw. What's going on locally?
Oh, we got a few things that we want to run by you. Obviously, we talked about college football, and we talked about Georgia Tech not doing well. We're going to dive more into that when we come up in the 8 o'clock hour. But we do have these thoughts from Coach Brent Key, first of all, talking about, you know, some of the sloppy things they played on the road.
Anytime you come on the road in league, you can't come on the road and play sloppy football at times and, you know, make those critical mistakes that were made. And, we spotted them 14 points on a defensive touchdown, the minus 6 in the first half, and then a blocked field goal for a touchdown. I thought for the majority of the time, just from the side, we'll watch the tape and see, but I thought majority of the time, I thought a lot of the guys played hard, but that's not enough to play hard, right? You got to play smart, right? And there were times that I don't think we played the smartest football that we are capable of playing.
And that's Coach Key talking about his team yesterday. Louisville beats Nebraska 31-19. Okay, remember Georgia was off yesterday. Georgia State was off yesterday. Kennesaw State all off yesterday. Georgia Southern play. They went to Ole Miss. Ole Miss beat them 52-13. Thank you very much. They bring a nice check. they bring a nice check back from Oxford. And they'll be playing here next Saturday against Georgia State. Should be a packed house for that game. Mercer's a winner over Citadel, 38-21. Shorter over Warner, 47-25. Valdosta State is undefeated at 4-0. They beat Erskine, 73-0. Morehouse gets their first win for Coach Terrence Mathis. Congrats to Coach. 31-28 over Kentucky State. They played that game in Chicago.
Is he still doing NASCAR?
Terrence? No, he's coaching football too.
But he could have an interest in it. He could be doing two things.
This right here, this is taking a lot of his attention to try to get this program right, especially when he considered what the folks across the street were doing. Clark Atlanta is undefeated at 3-0. And we're going to get into that in a little bit, dive a little deeper into their win coming up here at 7:40, 38-37 winners over Bethune-Cookman. Albany State over Central State, 28-7. I think they played that game in Rochester, New York. I don't know why they're in Rochester, New York. Savannah State, 20. Tuskegee, 16. Delta State, 27. Fort Valley, 24. Barry's winner over Randolph-Macon, 28-24. And Reinhardt, 35-31 winners over Cumberland's. Those are just some of the college football scores from the area. NASCAR ran last night, in case you missed it. in Bristol. They run the night race up there. And Kyle Larson was your winner. Chase Elliott finished second. Bubba Wallace third. And Denny Hamlin fourth. The order of finish for that race last night. And as far as the points race goes, Larson's on top, Christopher Bell and Tyler Reddick and William Byron, your top four. On the bubble, Austin Cindric, Daniel Suarez, Alex Bowman, and Chase Briscoe. They're 9 through 12 as they head for Kansas next week. And Chase for the cup. So that's what we have. Chase right now is in seventh place. Chase Elliott is in seventh place right there by Joey Logano. Those are the top eight right now. After the next round, I think they'll that's what they, what will be as we work our way up to the championship. And we got F1 going on. Did they start yet? I'm trying to think. I don't think they started yet. But F1, I think they're Singapore. We watch and see what happens with that. But that's what's going on.
All right.
For now, right?
Yeah, I'm all just right. Looking at some stuff and birthdays here.
No. We're bearing the lead. And we haven't talked about all day. You know, you yesterday and you're.
Well, no. I'm saving.
Were you saving it?
You don't. No.
Please. I can't do that.
You don't want. No. You do not. Okay. It's like me taking liberties with what's going on.
I shouldn't do that.
But I have that plan. I'm gonna mention something.
Okay.
During casting call. Okay. I ain't bringing no food, man. So maybe I should just do that. Eat something to eat. now I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, you know whose birthday it would have been today?
Birthday.
Tommy Lasorda's.
Really?
Rest in peace, T.
I know, man.
Tommy Lasorda got himself a ring and a, well, he didn't actually get the gold medal, but he.
But he coached the gold medal winning team.
That's right. And today was the day, keeping it in baseball, that Willie Mays became the second player to have 600 home runs.
Really?
Yep. Got it on this date. Bang, 69. Remember what he finished with?
No.
Come on. You're supposed to know that. Even I know that one. 660.
660.
Willie. Say hey, kid. I was wearing that shirt you gave me the other day from the ballpark.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I was wearing that the other day. Anyway, Ed, Sam, and Greg. We got Megan L. Hall joining us next. Going to talk WNBA playoffs on this Sunday morning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And take us with you in the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Uh-oh, we messed up. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We got to edit all this out. Remember, she got her own intro music. Megan, we got Megan L. Hall. Megan L. Hall coming up.
Yeah.
Megan's got her own walk-on music.
Okay.
And we're playing something else. I mean, this is a good one. Eric didn't know, though. We didn't tell Eric. We're going to apologize to Megan.
Yeah.
We ready to bring her on?
Yo, absolutely.
All right, well, good morning. Megan, we'll edit all that stuff out here. Megan O'Hall, USA Today. But we haven't talked to you in a few weeks, and as we get ready for the WNBA playoffs.
Starting today.
How are you, and what you been up to?
First of all, thank you guys so much for having me, and thank you for the intro mix. Listen, I feel like royalty around here.
Okay.
But I am – I am living the dream, as the kids say.
See? She don't need the intro music. She don't need it. She's living the dream.
She's good. I mean, getting down to playoff time.
Can I ask her a little right off the top? Because, listen, we could dissect and bring up a number of names, but you're sitting down with somebody right now who wants you to kind of capsulize this season in total. How would you go about explaining this WNBA season to somebody, given everything from start to finish? What happened?
I'll give you two words: historic and wild.
Okay.
That's probably the best I got. We had a lot of records broken, whether it's attendance or on the court. And then there was a lot of drama, just different storylines, people new to the WNBA space, old fans, new fans. Yeah, it was a wild season, but in a good way.
It's like a supernova. That's what I look at it. Like, there's now a new planet. But the supernova, it had to explode. It had to have all the stuff that she's talking about.
Right.
Didn't make any sense when it was going on, but that's how you form a star.
Yeah.
So all the gases came together, and now it's cooling. And we're going to get
cooling. Our cooling. I like that.
You like that?
But it's playoff time now. Come on now. And let's start with our home team here in Atlanta. Made us wait right down to the very last game to see if they were going to make it in. And as their reward, they got to start up in New York. But, you know, talk about our team and, you know, what can they do up in New York against a team that has the best record in the league?
Yeah, so I wrote a piece right before, or really right after the Olympic break. Atlanta was 7-17 before the second half of their season. And, you know, I was talking with someone. I'm like, man, they're probably going to have to play, like, pretty flawless, you know, to get in. Or, you know, pray to the basketball gods that a team likely in, or very unlikely, unravels, right? And oddly enough, Atlanta did what it needed to do. It wasn't pretty, but what they did do was win their last three games, and that helped them out a lot. Unfortunately for Chicago, they dealt with a number of injuries that just didn't help them. And the Mystics, I think they had a chance to probably snag that eighth spot, but splitting the trip with Atlanta, or splitting those last two games with Atlanta, especially that overtime game, I think kind of pushed them out of the whole thing. Atlanta did what it needed to do in the second half of the season by winning more games against teams that were over 500, and that's what helped them kind of land in that eighth spot and stay there. And really and truly, you know, I think it was fantastic to see them scrape all of that together and go to the playoffs. I won't even lie to you. There was a moment where I was like, is this even going to happen? Because things were just not great, you know?
Yeah.
But I think I'll say this. I would give a lot of credit to Tanisha Wright and her squad for powering through it. Give a ton of credit to, of course, the starters. But Atlanta's bench has been through it this season, and they've answered the call as well. So it's just really good to see this team put everything together. And of course, you know, like Sam said, they were rewarded by, you know, playing New York. But, you know, like I told someone on Thursday, I wouldn't count Atlanta out against the series. They match up with New York actually very well. And as you saw on Thursday, in the first half and really up until probably the early third, they were taking it to New York. Their starters versus New York starters, and there was a comfortable lead up to 20 at one point.
Megan, can you take a second and for our audience expand on that a little bit more, telling them a little bit more about the Liberty?
Yeah, for sure. So, all right. So one thing that I always tell people about New York Liberty is they have buckets for days, and I mean that anybody can drop buckets. And what I mean by that is they're very good in the mid-range, but they're also fantastic from the three-point range. So if you're going to play with the Liberty, you've got to come with the scoring. The other thing for them is they're very good defensively. Sabrina Ionescu has been a really good defender this year compared to previous years underneath her. And then Brianna Stewart is just a pest on both sides of the ball, along with John Cole Jones. And even their bench is really, really good, can score buckets at will. So if you're going to hang with New York Liberty, you've got to be able to withstand the punches from them. And here's one more thing for the New York Liberty is that they are a really good second half team. So even if you're up in the first half, they're able to erase leads with no problem. That is just them. They're very resilient. And I think for them, they still have some pretty bad taste in their mouth from last year of losing the WNBA finals and watching the Aces celebrate on their home floor. So, yeah, if you're going to go through New York, good luck to you. And that's the same thing for Atlanta. Good luck to you. You got to bring your A game with playing against the Liberty.
Yeah, if they can steal one of those games up there, they for their force a third game, and they get to come back home Thursday night to play a third game. This will be game three. Folks, spending time on the waitfor.com hotline this morning with Megan L. Hall, and she is social. You can find her at It's Megan L. Hall. It's Megan L. Hall. She's with USA Today. You know, I, the playoffs are starting today. I kind of wish they would start them tomorrow for whatever reason. And you just going head-to-head with the NFL, but that's the way the schedule's laid out. That's the way they have the arenas all set out and the network deals with ABC and with ESPN for this Sunday. The Dreams Camp's going to be at 1 o'clock. The 3 o'clock game is one I'm sure a lot of people – you know, want to watch because, but it's the middle of the NFL games, and that is with Indiana and Connecticut. They want to see how Caitlin Clark performs in playoff. You know, this team has played better in the second half, and I think it's because she got that break during the Olympics, and they came back, and that team was a little bit fresher, I think, and that's what propelled them to have such a great second half of the schedule. I'm looking forward to this series, and they start today at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, this is my marquee matchup for the day. And I'll say this: I know a lot of people talk about Caitlin Clark on that team, and rightfully so. She is the massive engine that helps that team go. But I would also give a shout out to Kelsey Mitchell. Yeah. Her and Caitlin are a fantastic backcourt duo. Both of them are averaging 19.2 points, which is just wild to think about. And Kelsey really has blossomed having Caitlin beside her because so much opens up. But, I always argue that I think Kelsey has kind of always been a little underrated. She's always been a bucket, but having that system that they have now under Chrissy's side, she's really been able to flourish. So, in my opinion, I think that the Fever, and really I'll rope in Aaliyah Boston too. That's a three-headed monster, as Becky Hammon, kind of described it, and she was right. If you're going to defend the Fever, good gracious, there's a lot of things happening that you've got to defend, and they score so fast, lightning quick. But I would say this, I think for the Sun, they're a fantastic matchup. Maybe it's just me and I love a little razzle dazzle, a little chaos, but give me Dejanay Carrington and Caitlin Clark matchups on a loop.
Yeah.
Because it is so intense. And there's something about watching Dejanay like either strip Caitlin of the ball or, poke a ball free and score on the other end. And then Caitlin coming right back with a bucket, like a big three or something like that. Like, it's just great basketball. And I just love that. So I think it's going to be a really good series. I'm curious to see what version of Connecticut shows up. I've been calling them frauds all season long, and not because I think that they're incapable.
Right.
But I just think that they haven't played up to the standard that I think they should. They're a really talented team, and I think they've kind of been underwhelming in some spots. So I'm curious to see what happens today.
Megan's got me rethinking my question, Sam.
Okay.
Because I was going to come at this, actually a couple questions ago and ask this. Is this tournament Las Vegas's to lose? But given what she has talked about with the Liberty and these other teams, it seems like this chip could go to a few teams. Or is it still relevant? Is it the Aces to lose?
I will say this. I think on a technical standpoint, yeah, it's the Aces to lose, right? They're the back-to-back defending champions. But I think you have some really good challenges, right? The Liberty, you've got the Lynx. Those are the two that I feel like could upset this whole thing. I think what gets very interesting is that the Aces have been playing really good basketball as of late. One of the things that, people have been screaming about, myself included, into the wind, is where is the rest of, the Aces starters, because they have been so up and down since the Olympic break. And then where is the Aces bench? They hadn't, scored the way that they needed to. But I think the last, I'll call it probably 5 or 6 games, they really have turned it on. And it's probably at a good time. So if I'm an Aces fan, I fully believe we could get back to the finals. And a big reason of that is obviously, your starters have shown up in your bench, but it's Asia Wilson. I've said it all season long. I'm not betting against Asia Wilson to take her team back to the finals. Do I think it could happen? Yeah. Would I be shocked if someone upset them? No, but it's anything goes in the playoffs. So, the Aces could look a mess and they could haul off and surprise us all and go right back to the finals and win the whole daggone thing.
Megan, take a second and really, I don't mind if you throw hyperbole in here or not, but we've been talking ad nauseum about Caitlin and Angel all season long. But let's take a second and have you explain what we are looking at when we talk about Asia Wilson, not just the season that she had, but when you talk about the great players in this sport, in America, and I mean men's and women's, where does she in your mind land?
Oh, my goodness. To me, Asia is the best player in the entire WNBA, and it's not even close. I don't mean that to disrespect anybody else, but Asia is on another planet. And I think for her, the type of season that she's having is just incredible. I joke all the time, but whoever that person was that voted her fourth place in the MVP race last year, look what you did. Look what you did.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, I'm going to pull some stats here, but Asia is first in points per game, field goals made, win shares, offensive rating, offensive win shares, player efficiency rating. She's first in blocks, first in rebounds, first in defensive win shares, and the only thing she's not first in is steals, and she's third there. Like, what, Asia Wilson? Like, she is having a season that's never been heard of in the WNBA or the NBA. Like, this is a season of historic proportions, and I'm sorry. I hate that it was ever even a conversation. This is no disrespect to Nafisa Collier because she's having a wonderful season, but I hate that it was ever even a conversation about Asia not being the unanimous MVP. Like, these stats are absurd. They don't even make sense for someone to be able to do this on a court. And it's not just the fact that she's almost a machine on the court. It's the way in which she scores. She's patient. She's effective with her scoring. She's also a menace on both sides of the ball. Like, you have to game plan for literally just Asia Wilson by herself and then the rest of the team. And I don't know that there's very many players that play like that now. And I know we talk a lot about Caitlin and Angel, but this is just absolutely wild to me. I watched Asia Wilson. I'm so sorry, Dream fans, if you're listening to this. I watched Asia Wilson last season score 53 in a game in Atlanta.
Right.
And my mind was blown then that someone could score that many points in a season or in a game, excuse me. But to watch her come back and put this season together is just, it's otherworldly. I always run out of things to describe this woman because she's just incredible.
You know, Megan, I think she says if the spotlight's going to come this season, then I'm going to dance in this spotlight. And I think that's really another thing that has really driven her. Yeah, she's driven to achieve anyway, but say if the spotlight's going to be here, she's leaving no doubt, no question. And I think that's the way she's attacked this whole season.
Yeah, for sure. I had the pleasure of talking to Asia earlier this season, and we did a whole feature on what is greatness and how do you define, greatness, especially in the WNBA. One thing that struck out to me is that Asia said, hey, I want to hang up banners. I want my name to be among the greats. I want to say that I did those things. And I think for her, her ability to focus and her ability to just go out there and dominate regardless of what's happening around her is just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I think you saw very recently, if you were able to see, there was a video that the Aces posted of Asia showing some vulnerability of just saying hey, there's some days I hate being Asia Wilson. And that to me was a heavy statement, right? Like, hating to be Asia Wilson says a lot about what's on her shoulders that she doesn't speak about.
Right.
And so I think, for Asia, she's doing this with so much expectation, so much on her shoulders, and just showing out when the spotlight comes on. And that's what I told people. I'm like, listen, I know my picks. I know what I think could potentially happen.
Right.
But if I learned anything from last year when I thought the Liberty were going to win the whole thing, is do not bet against Asia Wilson.
There you go.
We'll watch for that.
Megan, thank you. As always, we will be back in touch with you. Now that the playoffs are up and running, but enjoy the rest of your day. And again, thank you as always for getting up and joining us.
Thanks, Megan.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you.
There you go. That is Megan L. Hall from USA Today for the win. Up next, haven't done a deep dive into the HBCU programs, but we're going to do it next. Eric Slaughter is here in for Noel, and him and Sam going to just chop it up. That's coming up. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, 22nd day of September. Who are we listening to?
That is the mighty sounds of the unfortunate Kentucky State University, because
Kentucky State,
they didn't have their best game yesterday. So I had to show them some love.
They were in Chicago yesterday playing Morehouse.
Well, they had something good to eat then.
At Soldier Field.
They had something real good to eat then.
I hope that post-game meal was good, because it was bittersweet. Or is that right?
For Kentucky State.
Yeah, well, sure was.
But it was good for Morehouse.
Yes, thankfully, finally. Finally, how the Rock say it? How's your boy say it? Finally, the Maroon Tigers have won the football game.
Do they fly up? Would they have flown up the night before?
Well, Morehouse did. Kentucky State probably just took a bus.
Kentucky State's from where?
Taking the bus?
From Frankfort, Kentucky?
Kentucky.
How far is that drive?
Well, hang on a second. Is that North Kentucky? Or when you're going up 75?
Frankfort, yeah.
It's past Lexington.
Yeah.
So it's more north. Mm-hmm. Louisville's like the halfway point between here and Chicago.
Right.
So you still got to go through Kentucky, then you got all boring old Indiana. So and actually, that's 65.
A little bit of a ride.
Yeah, yeah. It's that's a haul.
So maybe they took the plane. You know Morehouse. Morehouse had charter. For the Chicago
football
classic.
And they had some Geno's East delivered to the hotel.
They may have. Yeah. 31-28 final, Morehouse with the win over Kentucky State, Chicago. And then that's the Morehouse schedule. Y'all play all over the place.
We was in New York week before that.
Right.
We've already been to. Well, no, Ed Waters came to us. We still got to go to Columbus and all over the place. But that's the thing, you know, when it comes to HBCU classics, we're either the first or second call. Howard might be the first call. We're either the second. It all depends on how big of a draw or whether or not it has to be, because we're only Division II, which a lot of people don't realize. If the sponsors claim that, hey, we need at least one of the FCS level HBCUs. Howard, FAMU, Jackson State, and even though Jackson State shines, starting to calm off a little bit, are calls one. If they just want HBCUs with recognition, we're called one or one, two, depends on what Howard. They try to get both of us at the same time, which is why we went to New York twice to play Howard, and that's what happens.
And Howard actually got to play Hampton yesterday. So
yeah, well, see, that's the annual battle of what's the real HU? I mean, they do that
all
the
time. Well, they thought they were going to lose it when Hampton left the conference.
Right.
And,
oh, no, yeah.
They found a way to bring it back together.
Yeah.
Found a
good
way to bring it back together. Let's talk about what's happening across the street from Morehouse. Teddy Keaton has come from Allen, and he brought about half the team.
Mm-hmm. I want to see transcripts. No,
you over there.
Did I say that out loud?
Yeah, they hit the transfer portal and they magically ended up in Atlanta. But yesterday they're playing Bethune-Cookman, and this is a SWAC team. This is a former
SWAC team.
They're
current SWAC team.
SWAC team. Yeah.
Okay.
And FCS level. FCS level. Division One, and they played against some difficult teams. They hadn't won a game yet, and they had the lead, and Clark Atlanta rallies back. And let us hear how this game finished.
Yards. Ball is down.
He's
kick
got
is
distance.
Up. Oh, my! It's Lord with the field goal. Final 38-37 Panthers with the I can tell you it is mad.
That was Leonardo Cabrera, freshman.
Freshman.
55 yards with time running out.
Hey, if all the big schools can go find themselves a young man with a Latin heritage to kick the football, why can't Clark Atlanta do it too? You need yourself a field goal kicker, go get yourself a Rodriguez. Go get yourself a Cabrera. Go get yourself a Martinez. And say, young man, come kick this ball for me. And that's what he did. I mean, like you said, like you said, you showed me the play. He had 5-10 more yards on that thing.
Yeah, it could have been from 60. And just a freshman, Leonardo Cabrera, Clark Atlanta, 3-0.
Probably from a local Atlanta school, too.
We got to check and see.
Yeah.
But it's remarkable what he was able to do. And the thing that got them in position was an unsportsmanlike conduct call. Called on the coach's son for Bethune-Cookman.
The son?
The son. Really? Got called for it in sportsmanlike, and that's what got,
Can't have those penalties. Y'all's mental mistakes.
That's what advanced mental the play
mistakes.
And got it in field goal range.
His field goal range.
Yeah, right. You know what I mean? And, I know Dad probably had an interesting conversation with his son after the game last night.
You know, when we do our Friday night shows, I'm at games all the time, and you hear his coach about, we can't have mental mistakes. We heard Brent Key talk about it.
Yeah.
Can I have mental – I don't care what level you play, high school, college, pro – small things like that and first downs on penalties or giving teams another chance can cost you a game on every level.
Yep. Yep. What about Grambling? I think they are showing something. Mickey Joseph has come on as coach down there, and in 1 year has turned things around. They soundly beat Jackson State last night.
41-20, took care of business. The Bayou class is going to be back this year because Southern is going to have a good team each year. They won yesterday, beat Prairie View A&M 31-24. So, you know, that's one of my bucket list ones still because it's Thanksgiving weekend.
You still haven't been?
It's Thanksgiving weekend. I got to go take care of family stuff. So you know.
And you got to go to Bayou Classic.
Okay, I'll figure out a way.
You'll get no sleep.
I'll figure out a way.
You won't sleep the whole time you're down there.
You know, well, I mean, how many different things can you go to New Orleans for? I've been to the Essence Festival.
Yeah.
Falcons Saints is a holiday weekend in New Orleans.
It is.
And I've been to Mardi Gras. So I guess I got to check off Bayou Classic. I guess I got to.
Well, by the way, I want to remind people, I think John Grant would appreciate his mention. December 13th. Is the band of the year. They're going to have band of the year again this year, the night before the Cricket Celebration Bowl.
Friday night before.
The Friday
four,
night.
Four bands. Night. Four bands four will bands. Show up and battle it out.
Yep.
The voting has not begun yet, though, correct?
It's usually in October.
Yeah. All
so
right.
About a week or so away from having
it. Division two and Division one.
Right.
All them trips to New Orleans, you eating the alligator?
Absolutely. Nothing wrong with some gator bites. Gotta get Louie. They chewy. Gotta get a good
chewy.
That's what I've heard.
That's a good word to use.
That's what I've heard. So I ain't tried
that
it
yet. My Nike, if I put that in my mouth, boil it for a minute.
All depends on what sauce you put on that Nike. Put a little hot sauce, a little ketchup on that Nike.
You got a hot sauce.
Wait, hot sauce? You make it sound like you make it sound like chitlins.
Gator bites with a little hot sauce and some type of Remoulade or whatever Cajun thing they give you.
Conch. That's what it was like. You eating conch? I'm still chewing some conch I had back in the Bahamas
in the
80s. Yeah. No, forget about it.
Yep.
I ain't eating no gator.
Homecoming at Howard. You see what I sent you?
I did. Canceled was the big
tailgate.
Feature.
They're going to play the game, but the tailgate.
Well, first off, I don't understand. Is it? Are they trying to do it for safety reasons or the fact that, you know, because I think it was Bowie State last year or Morgan that had the unfortunate incident right before homecoming, and they had to cancel a lot of homecoming partying. I mean, I'm going to read the article. I might reach out to I got a great relationship with the SID at Howard and talk about it.
Well, they're saying they want to do some different, more family-oriented stuff, and I personally am like, does it mean we're going to put the emphasis back inside the stadium?
Because they're afraid, you know, because everybody's outside. I mean, I know when you go to most HBCU campuses, there's 50,000 people outside partying. There might be 10 or 20 that actually make it.
Are we trying to put the emphasis back in the stadium?
That's a great question. I've actually never been.
That personally excites me. If a school is going to say we're going to put the emphasis back inside the stadium, because that's how your football is going to get better.
Okay, but the problem is this. The stadium has a capacity limit.
Okay? Oh, I know it does, but, I mean, let's fill up what's in there.
Okay, but even when you fill up what's in there, once you got to start turning people away, what are they going to do?
I don't know, but I'm just saying, what are they going to do? Let's put the emphasis on the stadium. If that's the case, if that many people are going to show up for a game, take it across town. Played at the Redskins' place.
Yeah. Well, they used to play a lot of their games at old gym. RFK.
I want to throw a question to you two because we've not mentioned this throughout the show. It's not necessarily HBCU, but it's across the board in just collegiate sports. And it was what the governor did this past week. You guys got any say about what Governor Kemp did in signing a bill that now says that this NCAA can't come after schools who decide they want to pay players? I mean, it's one of those deals that's kind of a formality, but it's been made official. And Georgia was the first state where the governor
had a big ceremony when he signed that.
So I'm saying, you guys have any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I had this conversation with a old sports fan who used to say, you remember, you were here. College football fans say, I like college football because these kids are out here playing for the love of the game. I don't like the pros because they're a bunch of rich, spoiled
guys. Right, right,
yeah.
Well, that argument, take a match to it, throw it in your fireplace.
Well, that's been gone.
Yeah.
But even worse
now, because now they got legal stuff on their side saying, hey, we got the protection of the law saying that, hey, I can make all the money I can want and no one can.
Well, it's not that. It's the school's pain. But here's the thing that I thought of, and I thought of you, Sam, the first time, because there's like a phrase that you just kind of tongue-in-cheek throw out there. And so I thought about that. There's another job's been taken away. The bag man's job is now completely gone. I thought of you immediately. I was like, man, well, now he was wondering about that, you know, with some of the other decisions, but now it's official. The bag man is out of work.
And he had a good run.
He did a very good run. He had a very good run.
Bagman and the car delivery guy.
Yep.
I didn't order this.
But when this happened, getting back to this will open up a bit of a Pandora's box when you talk about some of these states whose schools are richer than others. When you talk about what Ann Arbor can do versus what Alabama can do.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, what the schools in Texas can do versus the schools
in
Florida.
Yeah.
The schools in Florida. You know, it's, you know, it
and how
shifts
much
the balance a little bit in recruiting, but there's still got to be coaches that close the deal, and there's got to be kids that be like, well, who's getting more, and where does the playing time?
That's the question. No, I don't think it gets to that second part. I think who's getting more? Who's Texas A&M? You gonna pay me as much as what Texas gonna do?
Yep.
LSU? Are you gonna give me as much as you know? That's where the conversation goes.
That's why the best new the bagman's job is off, but the GM of these teams now, or director of what is Woj's position called?
Yeah, director of operations.
Director of operations. That's a new position that all these schools are having to create, which pretty much is the guy who controls the money. He's like the general manager. He's like the CFO, chief financial officer of all these schools.
We have lived in a time, which is just amazing, where we've seen technology provide jobs, take them away in a short period of time.
Yep.
We've got this fluid situation going on in sports. I won't just say collegiate sports period, where there are jobs. Listen, forget about that. The film industry that has taken over this state, there were jobs that were here pre-pandemic, now that are gone. All those jobs where people were testing people, working part of the health department. It's just amazing when you think about just how things have evolved so quickly. Oh. And you can't speculate on what's going to be around the corner in a year or two.
Yep, that consistent part of life, my friend. Change.
May he rest in peace, but I think he said it best. You know, James Earl Jones.
The great circle of life.
Did you get that picture I had?
When he said that, I think it was his character that said that.
Well, he still said it in the voiceover, but don't play with me like that. Come on. This is
CNN.
No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that in Lion King. He said the other thing. A big week for one of those history-making weeks for Otani. And so we haven't really got into this, what season compares to that, and so on and so forth. Sam brought up an interesting point, and it was the Otani effect. Talked a little bit about it earlier in the show. We're going to get back to that. Also, Chad Bishop is going to join us. Listen, Georgia is off on the sidelines this week, but Georgia Tech was at it, and we're going to talk a little tech. And then I've got a fresh casting call for you. There is money flying through the air. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.